Yes.
I have to say, I didn't catch much of that discussion.
Oh, no, on the side, he was asking me a question about controlled substance, like one-on-one stuff, not...
Yeah, I was asking a smarter person the question.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So it's all good. All right, so Dr. Wright, so you've heard from Dr. Santibanez, his attorney, team member, and then also the practice monitor.
Yes.
So
discussion with us. I did have just one quick question for, forgive me. Enid. So when I'm looking at these pictures, we have the controlled substance.
Yes.
Is that a glass front cabinet still?
I believe so, yes. When I knocked on it, it wasn't glass, but it's the acrylic plastic.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's something that could easily be broken into in a controlled substance cabinet?
Not so easily. I know that those ones are used more in like restaurant attires as well, so it's not so easily breakable. And when I knocked on it, it's the same material. I have a food truck, so I know the type of material, but that's about it.
I would... The regulations are kind of vague. We were just discussing that, but I'd probably say maybe find a new cabinet.
Okay.
Just to be on the safe side.
Do you guys prefer the one that's in the surgical room?
We can't make recommendations that way, but I'm just not a big fan of being able to see controlled drugs visibly like that.
Understand.
Well, but it is locked, so that's kind of the requirement. But it's just
nice. Yeah.
So may I interject on this?
Yes.
To be clear. So there is not any specific board rules about that, but you may want to check with the DEA regarding that as far as what they require, because their rules are stricter.
Okay.
That was all my look. I just wanted to check, see if that was the same. So thank you so much.
So maybe some suggestions on how to move forward.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we're at right now is we know we have issues here. And the issues, like I said, we had our practice monitor, we were missing reports. So we've got some room to catch up on a lot of stuff, even still. I'm hoping I see positive intent that we're going to see change from now. And in that case, we have a report due in early September, basically. Our next board meeting is going to be September 18th. What we can do is possibly push that back to a few days before. I don't know what's going to work for you, Victoria, to not complicate things for you.
If
they're amenable to that.
Exactly. Katie, if that's something that may work for her, and again, maybe coordinating with counsel and Dr. Santibanez, if we could get something maybe a little more relevant, because if we do something the beginning of September, that may be a little tight, especially if she's going on vacation.
I'll be back September 3rd, so yeah. I will be available after that to do whatever I need.
And that'll give you time to kind of get it written. I just don't know what, for board staff, what's the best time for submission, do you think, for the report?
It's usually Friday before the board meeting when we ask for draft comments.
Okay.
Thoughts from...
So that work?
And we're fine getting stuff last minute. I want to make sure the practice monitor has time to do what she needs to do.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll push that back a little bit, or at least we'll vote on that. Or because that's a part of the consent agreement. Do you have to vote on that, Mark? Or is that... Okay, so I'll make a motion at this point to make the report due the Friday before the next board meeting.
The motion?
Second.
Second. Any discussion on that?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Solomon. I would support that with a reporting now to DEA. I'm concerned about the assessment that the respondent doesn't understand the requirements for handling controlled substances.
Okay, thank you. So we have a motion and a second to update the practice monitor's report from the beginning of September to the Friday before the next board meeting, which is September 18th. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'm gonna vote nay. This is Solomon.
So that motion passes.
All right, so we have that. So like I said, we're gonna get a report. We're gonna have some more information at that point. At this point, we basically have to see change. And I'm not hoping to see change. We will see change, drastic change. So I just wanna make sure that we're clear on that. But we're gonna work through this and get everything going back to standards that it needs to be. But right now, like I said, we'll get that report and then we will table this until the next meeting, or do you want to do a full 6 days? Just the next meeting, we'll reassess it at that point. Yeah.
Because the practice monitor report for the compliance piece, right?
Yeah, so we'll table this discussion right now until we get our report in September, and we'll discuss this again at the September 18th meeting.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool.
Any questions with that? Any board members? All right, thank you for being here today. Tabled.
Victoria. Was this theirs? No.
Yes.
Oh, okay. This was mine.
It's not Keith's, thanks. We're going to have one shift. Let's see. Is everybody still okay? So, keep going. All right, we're good. Okay, so we're going to make one change. We're going to move to number 11, 24144 regarding Colleen Dress CBT. Tracy, could you read the summary on that?
Yes, case 24-144, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and the respondent is Arlene Dressing CBT. At the May 15th, 2024, Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened investigation regarding respondent's conduct after receiving information that she was treating animals without veterinary supervision and operating an animal premises, Desert Haven Animal Clinic, without a current veterinary premises license. Desert Haven Animal Clinic's website indicated veterinary services were being offered to the public. And this matter was brought to you for your review and consideration, did not go in front of the investigative committee.
All right, thank you. So we do have the respondent present. If you'd like to, did you want to step forward and make a statement? Okay.
So
just state your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Arlene Dresty.
Okay, thank you. Dresty, thank you. Okay, you have up to 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I know that I believe you've received both my letter and the letters of my supporting supervising veterinarian. So I just have a quick statement. Good morning, everybody. I'm sorry that we have to meet under these circumstances, but I'd like to take a moment to tell you about myself, my mission, and my vision. I've been a vet tech off and on since high school, mostly in New York. I moved to Ajo, which is an unincorporated town, 28 years ago this December, and found there to be no veterinary services. I held a few different jobs over the years, including as a bus driver for San Simon Elementary School on the Tohono O'odham Nation, until I was diagnosed with spinal stenosis and had to take medical retirement. Before that, I went on an Earthwatch project in Uganda, shadowing project veterinarians tracking chimps, and was inspired to return to school and get my associate's degree in veterinary technology. And so I took this opportunity after I had to retire to do just that. And I took my and passed the boards for my certificate. I've had two spinal surgeries in 2015 and another in 2020. The second one wasn't as successful and has left me with some limitations. I took this path to help my community, but I'm limited to what I can do alone as a CBT. So I founded Desert Haven Animal Clinic as a nonprofit 501c3 mobile veterinary clinic to bring more services to my underserved community. It's not been as easy as I thought it would be. I often call Victoria for guidance with questions on what we needed to do things right. It got to where I would call and say, it's Arlene from Ajo. And she would laugh, and I'd say, you're laughing at me. And she'd say, we're just glad that you want to do it the right way. Of course we do. Regarding the website, I believe it was hacked. I didn't authorize that latest change. I didn't even want a website. If anybody knows me, they know I'm technologically challenged. But everyone thought we should have one, so I relented and signed up with a company. Their original design was very generic, saying we were a 24/7 urgent care clinic, and even put a Google map with a pin on my home address. I immediately had them change it before they published it. The original was a very basic site with my bio and a page listing the services offered with a Weimaraner lying down with the words, coming soon. That's it. I would check the site periodically, and it was always the same until I checked again after receiving Tracy's first letter in May. I was astonished at what I read. I did not authorize those words. I immediately called the web people and had it take, and it has been taken down. We are not a clinic that takes e-appointments, is open 6 days a week, nor have a full staff of veterinarians. I wish. This is my wish list. I told Tracy that it had been hacked, and she asked why would someone do that? Sadly, to cause trouble. There is a person in Ajo who has been trying to discredit and defame me and malign my character. He is a person who has a position of authority, but doesn't even live in our community. As a director on the board who oversees him, I addressed an issue with him and he became hostile and verbally attacked me. Since then, he has tried to cause trouble for me, including filing an injunction of workplace harassment, which was filled with untruths. It was voluntarily dismissed by his attorney before I had my say in court. It was shortly after the dismissal that the complaint to your board was filed. I'm not the only one who has borne the brunt of his actions. He called the police on the school superintendent, filed a complaint against our bank manager, filed several other injunctions against other community members, and was and is involved in several litigations. I'm well known, I say this without ego, but I'm well known, well liked, respected, and trusted by the people of Ajo. I've always stood up for and advocated for the animals and people of Ajo. My mission and my vision are to bring more vet care to our community. I've been working with Pima County and other groups and entities to do just that, even trying to bring my Ugandan veterinary brother here to help. And Dr. King has also helped us when she could with clinics. That's the only time we have clinics is when a BDM is present. That is my role in this life. Thank you.
Okay, let's see here. So, Dr. Byrne, you're the lead. Do you have any questions for Ms. Dresdere?
I don't think I have any pertinent ones or any specifics.
Okay. Yeah, I just had a couple of questions on the, like I said, it's not a hospital, it's not a clinic. So what do you do? Because I see a lot of what you don't do, but what do you do? The letter from Dr. King says basic veterinary technician services, but there's nothing that says what actually is going on.
Anal glands and toenail trims. Unless, of course, we have, and we have in the past, with Dr. King's help, wellness, general wellness clinics, but we haven't been able to have one for 2 years because we haven't had a veterinarian. When we do, and Pima Animal Care Center has come down, Asavet, you know, with their mobiles, and I kind of act as the liaison between them and the community. But unless we have a licensed veterinarian present, there's nothing else.
So the only two things you charge for are nail trims and nail glands?
I don't charge.
That's just a free service?
Yeah.
Okay.
So our community is largely populated with elderly people, with low income people, with people in our closest clinics other than Mexico, which of course, you know, offers its own, you know, challenges right now, is Buckeye, you know, 2 hours away. People can't afford to make that trip. They may not have reliable transportation, they don't have the funds, and that's why I started Desert Haven, to, you know, bring the services to our community, to, you know, as a mobile rather than a brick and mortar, because as a brick and mortar we'd have the same situation trying to get people to us. But again, it's, you know, God forgive me, but I say, I knew what I was getting myself into. I would have just shot myself in the head and been done with it, you know, because it is a struggle, and Victoria's been so gracious and patient with me over the years. I'm just trying to help.
So everything you do is mobile? There's no actual storefront anywhere?
No.
Okay.
The address, the 2461 Rosser Road, that's my home. you know, that's my sanctuary, okay? I have to put that out for the Arizona Corporation Commission. They need to have, you know, physical address.
Okay. So how often do you do the mobile clinics, and how is it set up when you do that?
Well, again, as I said, we haven't been able to have one since June of 2022. And so do you mean with Desert Haven? Because we're kind of just sponsor, you know, and we're raising funds to help. Because two of the challenges, as I know everyone in this room is aware of, staffing and funding. And so, you know, I learned 24 years ago when I brought the Humane Society down to Tahoe for the first time, I was pretty good at fundraising. And so that's what I do to help, you know, offset the cost and, you know, bring these entities down.
So you haven't had an actual clinic that's offered medical services? Because it sounded like Dr. King does some stuff for you. Sometimes it's just kind of more consultation and counseling.
Well, consultation. Okay. And, you know, I mean, and to be honest, people do call me, you know. And if it's something, you know, I will reach out to Dr. King or one of the other vets, you know, that supervisors make, you know. Other than that, it's like, yeah, you need to go, you know. And people ask your advice and they very rarely take it, you know. And when I tell them they need to go, you know, to be seen, oftentimes they don't.
Well, and my main question was, even around mobile practices, there is a license for that. So if we are, we haven't done it since 2022,
yes.
I guess. That,
yes.
But when you start doing that again, there is a mobile license.
Yes.
That
you can do. Oh, I'm very
aware. Very so I just want to make sure and clarify the services that are offered. So those are the main questions I have at this point. Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Solomon. I have some follow-up questions, if I may.
Okay.
What staff do you currently have?
Excuse me?
What staff do you currently have?
Myself.
Did you hear that?
I'm sorry, just myself.
Okay, I thought I heard you refer to an office manager or something. Clinic manager, I believe, was the term you used.
No, not at all.
I might have missed that too.
Okay. Okay, okay, so there's just you, there's no other staff. There's
Correct.
No clinic manager, and you are not a clinic.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Byrne?
I have two questions.
All right, okay, you can go ahead and step back. Thank you.
So on a discussion, I think we need to have a discussion about what the, I understand the premise of trying to help an underserved area, but I feel like that should come from a veterinarian as the top man down or top woman down, not from a technician upwards. So I have concerns about the level of reliance upon supervision, direct and indirect. I don't really have any hardcore evidence of what's been done in relation to that directness or indirectness, but I think the trend is, it looks to be potentially fairly, like it's not set up properly.
So, there were some reference that there have been conversations with Victoria over the years, and that, you know, that she had advised that you know, premise license wasn't needed. I just wanted to ask Victoria, was that kind of...
We don't make advice like that.
I wanted to hear it.
Okay, sorry.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I have had multiple conversations with her over the years. It was often repeated the same information many times, which was you 100% needed a premise license with a licensed veterinarian who lives in Arizona. She had talked about bringing veterinarians from Mexico and things like that. We talked about all the reasons why all of her ideas would not work. And she just kept trying, and as far as I knew, going back to the drawing board. I had absolutely no idea that she was doing anything remotely as to providing veterinary services to the public.
And just to be clear, if you have a mobile practice, you still need a premise license.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it's brick and mortar or not.
Yes,
correct.
And you can't, if a technician is going to work and do anything under the direction of a veterinarian, they have to be employed by that veterinarian. And I'm not a, don't believe that she is.
So, okay, yeah, so that makes sense to me.
Madam Chair, I have, sorry.
Go ahead.
I have another follow-up question on Dr. Byrne.
Oh, okay, for Dr. Byrne, he's sitting right here. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not of Dr. Byrne, but it's a follow-up to the points you were making. I've asked, like to ask Ms. Dress, you said that you reach out to veterinarians. What happens? Can you walk me through a couple of cases where you reach out?
Jane, we don't have Ms. Dress Day available for questions. We asked her to step back.
Unless you want to go to informal.
So we'd have to go to informal if we want to get deeper here.
Okay.
So, wrapping up the discussion, I was going to make a motion to move this case to an informal so we could better flesh out what degree of supervised or unsupervised veterinary medicine was being practiced in Ottawa and who or who was not directing that. So I would make a motion to move it to an informal.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Any other discussion?
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily wrong because it's all about questions, but I don't know what's going to be fleshed out here. That's kind of why I asked my questions. Maybe I got a little too deep in a initial. But, I mean, anal glands and nail trims are a grooming service. So, I mean, we don't go into PetSmart and deal with that there. So I shouldn't say name, sorry, but into a grooming facility and deal with that because that's outside of medical. So I mean, is that something we really have purvey over? And we could ask more questions, but from what was answered today, there's no other services offered. The website was different and it's been changed. But I mean, I don't know what we're gonna garner from it. I don't think it's wrong, but I just don't know what we're gonna garner from that because.
It'd be different if we had witness or something.
Exactly.
We don't. But I'm also.
There's a little bit of
the question, get in a little deeper, might.
Yeah.
There might be value.
There's separation, though, between what Ms. Dreste is saying is she has supervising veterinarians, and then the supervising veterinarian saying, hey, she's doing cool things, but she is not claiming to be the supervising veterinarian. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there.
Right. The accountability factor is not.
I'm sorry.
And they can't supervise anyway.
Yeah, we don't have that level.
They can't do it anyway.
Yes, correct.
So ultimately, the bigger question may become of the veterinarians that are supervising. So.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can vote whatever you decide. We'll go from there.
Okay, so we do have a motion and a second. Go ahead and call a vote. All is in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, and the motion passes. We'll move to informal. So the board will be in touch. Okay, let's take like 5 minute. I climbed under if you want.